and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
All right, good morning, church. How are you doing this morning? Great to see you today. Can I have a smile in the house today? There you go. Come on, Ross, smile at me. I can see you there. Awesome. Good to see you this morning, everyone. Are you blessed? Come on, let's give Jesus a hand of praise in the house this morning. Give him glory today. We serve a great God. Amen. And congratulations to our youth who did such an amazing job at Gala Night. And all the mums and dads and young people and young adults that supported Gala. It was just absolutely phenomenal. So congratulations to our youth pastor, Jackson, and to our junior high school's youth pastor, Alyssa. And of course, Jess Pedlow as well. And all of the youth creative team who did such a great job. Pastor Jackson's away this morning. It was his grandmother's 80th birthday in Coffs Harbour last night. So he drove to Coffs Harbour and he's driving back now because we got lots of youth getting baptised tonight. So well done to all of our young people, our teenage youth ministry. And there were what was great, if you weren't able to be at Gala Night, is the amount of parents that there were in our church on Friday night from the community who don't normally come to our church. And we had non-Christian parents coming up to Pastor Allison and I afterwards expressing their gratitude for our youth ministry, that their teenagers get to grow up in an environment that's full of love, full of acceptance, full of faith. And so that was just absolutely brilliant. So best gala night ever in the history of humanity. Absolutely amazing. But my favorite part of the night, apart from my daughter doing such a great job, was the man they called Raymond. Raymond, from now on, shall be known as the Beast. Okay? Incredible. What a dancer. Wow, that was so good job, Raymond. You are the man. Amen. So, so good. Can we give Raymond a great clap? He was brilliant. Good job, Raymond. Well done. Well done. You should have taken up that hip-hop career. It's part of your calling. All right. So, so good. You ready to come around God's Word today? We're continuing our series on the miracles of Jesus. Today I want to preach a message about a, let's call it a thought-provoking miracle. It's an intriguing miracle. It's a miracle that I have to say that I've probably never heard a sermon on. You may have, but I've not heard this miracle preached. It's a fascinating miracle. There are a couple of things about this miracle that I want to talk to you about before we actually read it this morning. This miracle is recorded in the book of Mark alone. Secondly, it's a miracle that was, in general, Jesus' miracles were in public, right? This miracle was done in private. A man was healed in a private place. And lastly, when you look at the book of Mark, uses the word immediately or straight away on 40 different occasions. Whereas this miracle that we're about to read this morning, the most notable part about this miracle was not its immediacy. It was a miracle that happened gradually, progressively, over time. And in this miracle, it's about a blind man whose sight came back in two stages. And we have no other account in Scripture of anything like this in the ministry of Jesus happening in two stages apart from this miracle. So you're ready to read today? Come on, who's ready to grab something out of the Word today? So Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that you're going to speak to us. Who's ready to grow? In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. When you've got it, holler, amen. All right, seven people have brought their Bible to church this morning. When you got it, say amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 says, then he, that is of course Jesus, came to Bethsaida. Those of you who have come on the Israel trip, you've been to Bethsaida. And they brought a blind man to him. Story is not what we're going to preach today, but I do need to tell you this. It's actually your salvation story. Amen. How many of you were brought to Jesus by a good friend who decided to point you in the way of Jesus? Can you say amen? I once was blind, but now I... And begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand, that's the compassion of our Jesus, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, that probably didn't happen to you, but anyway, and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Now, here we go. He looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again, so second time, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Everyone say the word clearly. Then he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. I want to bring to you out of this miracle three observations. It's going to bless us, it's going to challenge us, inspire us, and it'll cause us to grow. Number one, are you ready? Number one, I've observed out of this miracle, offline does not mean out of touch. Write that down and we'll unpack that. Offline does not mean out of touch. I want you to notice in this miracle was done in private. The Bible says that Jesus took the man by the hand and he led him out of the town, out of the gaze of the crowd, out of the village, and healed him privately. You would think that if you were Jesus' marketing manager, if you were one of the disciples, why, if we are trying to promote the gospel, if we're trying to point people towards Jesus, come on, marketing people this morning, you don't do it in private. This is an iPhone opportunity to record this miracle, to upload it on YouTube, to put it on Instagram story. Come on, someone this morning, help me. This is an opportunity to promote the work of Jesus, yet Jesus takes the man to a private place and heals him in secret. The miracle is private. There's a separation that takes place from the gaze of the crowd. It's something that you could almost say is off the record. We live in a society where there is a push that everything that you hear, see, sense must be put on social media. It must be on Instagram and it must be in the public arena. But the Holy Spirit in this situation was saying, maybe we need to keep things at the heart of the matter, which was about this man's intimate relationship and experience with Jesus. This was a miracle between two people. It was about personal contact with Jesus. It was not for others to be a part of, though the disciples were present, or the people of the village. This was about personal contact. We live in a generation that says, unless it's online, unless it's publicized, you no longer have an exciting life. But I want to declare to you today that there are things in the purposes of God that God will actually ask you to keep offline, but it does not mean that you are out of touch. When I was a youth pastor, David Storer was my senior pastor. One day I went with him to America to see this incredible move of God that was taking place. John Herbert was my assistant youth pastor. He's the pastor of Planet Shakers Church in Singapore. And after the conference had finished, we kind of had a day to ourselves. David Storer, being the man of God that he is, he wanted to spend the day in prayer. And I wanted to go and play basketball against some Americans. Amen. So John Herbert and I, we went and played basketball. David Storer was in prayer all day. The Americans showed up. We were not going to lose. No way. And we played against them. And eventually we beat them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Because we don't lose in Australia. And David Storer prayed all day. We eventually made contact with Pastor David at the end of the day and said, Pastor David, how'd your prayer time go? So God spoke to me today. And said, what happened, Pastor David? He said, I prayed and prayed for half of the day that we would see in Australia what we had experienced in America. I said, tell us more about that, Pastor David. He said, I prayed and I prayed that we would see a revival in Australia. Then he said this, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I can't give it to you, David. I'm like, what? I'm like, you know, young youth pastor, you pray for revival. God says, I can't give it to you. And he said something to me that I never, ever forget. He said, if I gave you what you asked for, David, if I gave to you what you prayed for, I can't give it to you because you would go around at this point in time and you would tell everyone. There are certain things that need to be kept in private. There are certain things that God says this is a special moment between you and I. The man was taken out of the town. He was taken out of worldly ambition. He was taken away from the gaze of the crowd. Offline does not mean out of touch. And he brought him instead to a place called intimacy. It's what we could even call today divine separation. There are things in God that are for divine separation. There are people that I've prayed for that you will never hear me tell the story from the platform. People that I've met, places that I've been to, that I can't talk to you about. Why? Because it's a place of divine separation between God and myself. It was a pearl of great price that was given to me. That's a special moment between me and God. Out of touch, or offline, I should say, does not necessarily mean out of touch. Jesus took the man out of the town because there was something more important that needed to happen. And it was not for the gaze of the crowd. It was so that this man could experience a Savior who loved him, who cared for him, and who wanted to change his life. Matthew chapter 6 verse 3 says, but when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Somebody say amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Not all of your victories will be visible. Not all of your breakthroughs will be in the public view. We are, most importantly, what matters most is that we are hidden in the hands of our God, safe and secure in His hands. In one of the most difficult seasons in my life, the Holy Spirit led me to study the book of Philippians. That was going to be my strength and encouragement. When I felt like giving up, when I felt that I couldn't move forward anymore, when I had a Gethsemane experience, not my will, but Lord, your will be done. And the Holy Spirit prompted me to read the book of Philippians and to study the book of Philippians. And I literally wrote a verse-by-verse commentary in that season on the book of Philippians. And some people, some friends, as I kind of started to unpack it, well-meaning people, of course, encouraged me to publicize it. And one day I was praying and the Holy Spirit said to me, let's just keep this one between us. The Holy Spirit said to me, that is a private season and a personal moment between you and me. That one is classified. It's not for the public arena. It's a place called intimacy where we are hidden in God. Not everything in your life needs to be published. Not everything that you go through. Not every victory will always be visible or in the public arena. There are certain moments and seasons in God where you are given a pearl of great price that you hold on to and you guard and you watch over it because it was a moment that you had with your Savior who set you free and who blessed you and who encouraged you. Can you say amen? I also observed in this miracle, Number two, that the miracles of Jesus, or his miracles, are parables in action. They are parables in action. Well, every miracle performed by Jesus was designed ultimately, yes it was, because Jesus loves that individual. But you know, ultimately those miracles are actually there to teach us spiritual truths. They are parables in action. So let me explain it like this. The book of Mark is broken up generally into two sections. So from Mark chapter 1 to Mark chapter 8, the book of Mark is all about the identity of Jesus. It's how, who Jesus is. It answers that question of how Jesus relates to people, how he interacted with people, how he acted. The second part of the book of Mark, which is partly through chapter 8 all the way through to chapter 16, so again, two stages, is answering the question, or answers the question, why Jesus came. So that is how Jesus would accomplish God's plan of salvation on the earth. So you read three consecutive chapters, Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9, and Mark chapter 10. Jesus speaks about his death and his resurrection. So Mark chapter 1 to Mark chapter 8 is about the identity of Jesus. And partially through Mark chapter 8 through to Mark chapter 16, the finish or the completion of the book is about his mission. It's about why Jesus came. Guess what miracle is at the very center of the book of Mark? It's this miracle here. So Bible scholars, Bible teachers call it a turning point in the ministry of Jesus. Now remember, the miracle that happened to this man happened in two stages. It happened when Jesus first laid his hands on him and he asked him, what do you see? And he says, I see men like trees walking. And then the second part is, of course, is that he said, I now, the Bible actually uses the word clearly. He could actually see clearly. Now stay with me. Now, if the book of Mark is broken up into two sections, the miracle and this turning point is actually a parable in action. It's actually there to show the disciples their experience. In the first part of the life of Jesus, they had a measure of understanding who Jesus is. They see men like trees are walking around. They have a measure of understanding. But after his death and his resurrection, in the rest of the book of Mark, they could see clearly who Jesus actually is. Now watch this. The disciples at this point in time, up until this miracle, had been with Jesus for 2.5 years. Chronologically, this was actually the last miracle that Jesus performed around the Sea of Galilee. Most of the miracles in the ministry of Jesus was around the Sea of Galilee. He was now moving into the next phase of his destiny, which was to be crucified and to rise again. Now, this miracle that happened because the disciples were present, the incomplete healing was not an indication of Jesus' inability to heal thoroughly the first time. Instead, it was a vivid teaching for the disciples. Sight was there, but it was not complete. And you cannot separate the miracle from its context, because the miracle is like a parable of the disciples' spiritual confusion. They thought that Jesus was there to restore the land back to Israel. That's why when he died, they got all upset and everyone went in their own direction. It's all over. We're not getting our land back. But then eventually when Jesus was raised from the dead, they could see clearly what the ministry of Jesus was actually all about. So this turning point, remember the miracle is at the halfway point of the book of Mark, was a parable to teach the disciples about their experience. Can you say amen? Come on, someone, help me this morning. Because how many of you know that soul-saving salvation could only come through a suffering Messiah? Two stages in the miracle, speaking to the disciples about their destiny, their journey, their experience, two stages. There would have to be a death. There would have to be a resurrection. Ultimate sacrifice, ultimate victory. He would have to descend, but then he would ascend. Deep sorrow, stage one, but eventually that would be turned into great joy. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it dies alone, but if it dies, it will bear much fruit. We know in part and we prophesy in part. It was a picture of the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they could see things in shadow. They could see things in type. I see men like, I can't completely get it, but I have a measure of understanding of what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a man walking around, but he looks like a tree. Why? Because they had a measure of understanding. But in the New Testament, we see Jesus for who he is. We see clearly. So the miracles are in fact parables to teach us about who Jesus is, how he works, his plan of salvation and redemption for the earth. Partly that was part of the reason why Jesus took the blind man away out of the village, out of the town, and only the disciples were present. Because the miracle needed to become a parable, it needed to become a lesson for the disciples that they only see in a type, in a shadow at the moment, but the day is coming when they will see clearly. Can you say amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last man, the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. I seem strange. I can't have a measure of understanding. But in part two, I see clearly. Right throughout the Old Testament, we see types and shadows. Moses, a picture of Jesus, going to deliver a people who are in bondage. They cross the Red Sea, a picture of baptism. They move forward as God leads them into their destiny and purpose. Moses is a type of Christ. Joshua, the promised land. The name Joshua is the Hebrew equivalent of the name Jesus. So I see in shadow, I see in type, I see in part. I don't completely understand it. But there's a part two, and that is we see clearly because there's a death, but there'll also be a resurrection. So miracles and healings are partly there in our lives because the miracle is not why doctrine exists, right? Doctrine is first, and the miracle serves the teaching. Come on, can you say amen? Because in the journey, God is imprinting lessons upon our heart of who he is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Number three. He accommodates the pace of his power to the development of the man's faith. Amen? Come on. He accommodates the pace of his power to the development of the man's faith. Now, watch what happens. Jesus, the Bible says, he leads the man by the hand, partly, I think it's his compassion and kindness. He didn't want to make a public spectacle of him, away potentially from ridicule. This was going to be a private, intimate moment between him and Jesus. And the man finds his healing, his miracle happening in stages. Everyone else, like, boom, you know. Done. Say a word and the healed, set free. Jesus is incredible, but this man experiences or goes through his miracle in a period or incremental stages, two stages, a phase. It was gradual. It was progressive. And the miracle is also there to challenge us and to encourage us that if you are believing God for a miracle, but you find yourself in stages, it does not mean that God has forsaken you It does not mean that you are less than everyone else. It's because in it, there are lessons that God's imprinting onto your heart, and what you value more in the end is not the miracle. What you value more in the end is what He taught you in the process. And the jewels that were given to you in the purposes of God as you journeyed and your faith grew and He accommodates the pace of His power. Can you say amen? As we grow, as we develop, as we move forward in Him to the development of our faith. So if you're someone today who perhaps suffers with anxiety and you're believing God for a miracle, there are certain things potentially that you could do today that you couldn't do 6 months ago. Maybe these are your stages. Maybe these are your little, quite little. Because in Pentecostal Christianity, unless it's like happening today, God's not in it, right? Now, I'm all for that. I want straight away. I want now. Come on, who needs a now word? Amen. But God also works in stages. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Come on, amen. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Increments, phases, progressive, gradual development. God is into it.
Yes.
And you learn something about His heart and His love for you in each of the phases. Every little step that you make, something that once controlled you 6 months ago no longer has authority over you, because you've grown in the phase. Maybe a relationship that in the past you couldn't even talk to the person. Well, at least now it's kind of a high. Well, that's good. Because God is into phases and stages, and He teaches you, He restores you, He develops you. There are some in your health. There are things in your health that controlled you 12 months ago or 2 years ago. That now you may not right now be like 100% there. But thank God for where you've come from. Thank God that you're not where you were 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago, where you couldn't even go out in public because you thought that people were against you and everyone was talking about you. Thank God for how far you come. God grows you in your faith little by little, by little, by little, and you experience His presence and His power as you grow, and things are imprinted on your heart. Jewels and pearls about the purposes of God are sown into your spirit, and you learn through those processes about who He is, His kindness and His grace and His mercy. And we're moving forward in the purposes of God, stage by stage, degree by degree. Sometimes you go through gradual development in the purposes of God, but we're moving towards your complete healing and restoration. Can you say amen? Amen. Years ago, when Alison and I were transitioning out of Adelaide and we were moving to the next phase of our destiny, we served in Adelaide for about 13 years or so, serving another for 2 decades of my life. Alison and I, we served our senior pastors, but we kind of got to a phase in our journey where God was calling us to lead our own church. Now, when you are transitioning from one location to the next, the worst thing you can ever do is resign and wonder what's going to happen next. That's just poor wisdom. But the Holy Spirit was stirring us and speaking to us and saying, you need to let go of this in order for that to open. And I was like, Lord, that's tough, because this is not 25-year-old Brad. Well, she's a little bit younger, 22-year-old Brad, who lives with his mum and dad, and if it doesn't work out, Thank God for Mum and Dad. I like kids, mortgage, and it's a big step of faith. And I'm in this meeting, and this guy prophesies over me, and he says, Brad, I see you with two, your hand is here, your hand is there, and God's saying, it's like, okay, can you be a little bit, like, that's just like too accurate, you know? He says, you've got to let go of this for this one to open. And I knew exactly what the Holy Spirit was saying. Now, I'm in stages. I know that there's a miracle on the other side, but I'm moving through these phases of growth. That was the time I studied the book of Philippians and read and digested the book of Philippians, and I kind of got it into me, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and just really grabbed a hold of the Word of God. But God was saying, you've got to let it go for this to open. And I'm like, Lord, help me now. This is heavy duty faith here. But in the end, we're going to do it. So we let go, had no idea what was going to open up next. But that was the journey of faith. That was God accommodating and working the Good Shepherd little by little, walking with us to a miracle. Well, a number of things happened that God used to strengthen our faith and to encourage us. You've heard me tell the story of when I'd let go. It was about 3 or 4 days later, I was in a meeting where Pastor Phil Pringle was preaching. And all this time, I'm praying for wisdom, you know, Book of James, wisdom. Well, Lord, I need wisdom. Your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally, and you're going to do it, God. And he says, Brad, I've got a word for you. He's preaching. I'm on the kind of the second row, I think it was. And he says, the Holy Spirit saying to you, stop praying for wisdom. What you need to pray for is courage. And I'm like, all right, wrong prayer. So Lord, give me courage. And so God is working with me and guiding and shepherding and building faith. Because I'm moving towards a miracle. Some of you have health challenges. Some of you have challenges potentially with your children or whatever it might be that's going on. Come on, stages are okay. God's into stages. He's into little by little. He's into building your faith. We don't always need things today, although that would be great. But he's building you little by little, and you're learning things along the way that if it happened in a moment, you'd never learn those things. So, the next thing, Alison and I are at a conference, another conference. And I kind of like wanted to be at this conference, but I didn't. Because I have to go to a lot of conferences, and I get conferenced out. Somebody say amen. And I just start getting this twitch, and I have to get lollies and Tic Tacs just to kind of keep me going. Thank Jesus for Tic Tacs in conferences, especially the orange ones. They're awesome. So we're in this meeting, but this is a divine moment. This is a setup by God. And this guy starts preaching on the parable of the laborers. Love the parable. It's a great parable. Probably never really understood it. And he starts talking about the workers who started at 6 a.m. You know, and throughout the day, there's different people who get employed. And then eventually at 3 p.m. But that in the end, they all get the same salary because one starts at 6, one starts at 9, 12, and then 3 p.m. But at the end of the day, they all get the same salary. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'm in this meeting, and the word is just like, just hitting me. And the Spirit of God says to me, he says, you will be in this season of your life a 3 p.m. laborer. Because for 13 years, I was a 6 a.m. laborer. I bore the heat of the day. And he starts preaching and he says, you will find yourself in the purposes of God on one side of the equation or the other. Then it was about a week later or 2 weeks later that I get a phone call about coming to preach at a church in Sydney called Shiloh. I come to a church called Shiloh. It's got a building, it's got kids' facilities, I can go in the downstairs car park and look after my hair. It doesn't get wet if it's raining. Come on, someone help me this morning. That's very important to some people. And the Holy Spirit says, you're the 3 p.m. laborer. Now, I bore the heat of the day in someone else's vision. I started at 6 a.m. and I kind of, you know, built and built and built. But the Spirit of God was saying in this season, you're the 3 p.m. laborer. And I knew that God was using it to little by little build my faith. If you're going through something and you're believing God for a miracle, stages are okay. Come on, Pentecostal people. I know you want it today. I know you want it now. And if it happens suddenly, amen. We'll clap. We'll rejoice. And we'll give God all the glory for the good things He has done. But I also want to take the pressure off your shoulders. I want to take that pressure that, you know, kind of like constipation Christianity. Now, God, now. It's okay to laugh in church. Thank you, Karen. It's the youth pastor in me coming in. It's okay for God to lead you in something through stages. And I look back over that season, it probably went for about 3-4 months. And the lessons, the things that I learned about the heart of God and His love for me, and His kindness towards me, and the way that the scriptures were unpacked, and the God encounters, and the Phil Pringle word, and the parable of the laborers, that's my parable. That's my story. I'm written in it. That's me. But it would never have happened if it was like, kaboom, straight on, now. I've learned things about Jesus, and I've seen aspects of His heart and His kindness and His love and His grace because of stages. Don't be discouraged if you're going through stages. Don't feel as though you're less than other people. Where you are today compared to a few years ago, or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, in anxiety and pressure and handling stress, thank Jesus how far you've come. Thank God for the relationship that may not be where you want it to be, but at least you're talking to each other. Before it was like... But there's stages, and you've seen grace, and you've seen His love, and you've seen His mercy in stages. I said before, in the end, you learn to value something. Thank God for the miracle, but more so, you end up thanking God for the journey, because you get to see Him in all His glory. Amen. We're going to pray for miracles today. And we're going to stand with people who are in stages. We're going to stand with you. We're going to walk with you. And we're going to say, you may not be where you want to be. I want you to kind of be that man and say, I see clearly, this is incredible. It might be trees right now. It might be like, I don't understand it all. But I'm just going to keep trusting Jesus. Come on, we're with you. He's with you. He's for you. He's blessing you. He's advancing you. Come on, Psalm 23. He's the good shepherd. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's walking with you through stages. Stages are good. So Pentecostal people, I love you. And I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. But stages are good, because we get to see Jesus in incredible ways. Can we pray for you today? If you're going through a stage and it's like, why now? I thought I'd kind of be here, but I find myself here. But thank God for how far He's brought you. Can you say amen? Because you will be fully restored. Fully restored. Jesus' name. stand up and we're going to worship the Lord with this song. If you find, you know, sometimes when you're in a stage, I just feel to say this right now. Come on, church. When you're in a stage and it's like, sometimes it can feel like a long journey. It can feel like it's been a long night. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? But that's why I'm preaching this message, because the Holy Spirit knows. Come on, here's a word for you. He knows you needed to hear it. He knows your soul needed to be encouraged. He knows that He wanted to bless you and say, I love you and I'm with you. I'm for you and not against you. And we're moving forward into purpose. Can you say amen? If you're in a stage, degree by degree by degree, we're going to stand with you today. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe for a suddenly today, because this might be someone suddenly today. Amen. This might be, I release that. I release a suddenly spirit right now in Jesus' name. Release it in the name of Jesus. Faith in Jesus' name. Or it may be the family of God saying, you're doing incredible. Keep going. You're an amazing person. That too. You're incredible. You're anointed. We're going to pray for you. We're going to speak blessing. Most of all, we're going to see Him. We're going to see Jesus. Can you say amen? Come on, who's going to come down the front and say, I need prayer. I'm in stages, but can the family of God stand with me? Come on. Come on, Horizon Church. We need the anointing. Come on, Horizon. We need the anointing. We need the anointing. We need the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, here we go.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you.